The more you learn about your ADHD, your symptoms, the better you will learn to live with what I call your lifetime roommate, right? If a person gets married, you have to learn the person you're living with, right? It's the same thing.
Yes.
AD is not going away.
Welcome to Motherhood in ADHD. I'm your friend, Patricia Sun. My mission is to be a lighthouse for mothers with ADHD, helping you find your path to success by learning to appreciate your ADHD as an asset. I'm seeking to change the paradigm that ADHD means your life is doomed to be a hot mess. So I'm sharing strategies and encouraging you in your pursuit of happiness to love who you are every day of your ADHD life. Hey there, successful mama. It's your friend, Patricia Sung. Welcome to March Mama Madness. This month, we're mixing it up as we feature successful mamas, all of whom have ADHD. In the first episode, each of these beautiful women will share their ADHD story with you. And while each lady is different, I know that parts of every story will resonate in your heart as we share in both her pain and the triumphs of living with ADHD. Each of these women also has a heart for the ADHD community. As we dive into our self-care series, each mama will share with us in the second episode an area of self-care that we can use to take care of our ADHD brain, body, and soul. Because taking care of yourself is a basic requirement of living, like food and water, not a luxury item. I cannot wait for you to not only learn what gives you energy, but know wholeheartedly that it is totally doable that when we make it ADHD friendly, we can take care of ourselves well. We're starting with simplicity, baby steps, and we're aiming for progress over perfection. Self-care can and must be done in every stage of motherhood. Get ready. Let's figure out what self-care truly fits you. You are worthy, you are valuable, and you are not alone. Come on, meet this successful ADHD mama. Today, we're talking with Dina Quandamateo, better known as the ADHD lawyer. Now, Dina was one of the first people I met in the ADHD community on Instagram. I am drawn to her infectious enthusiasm and encouraging spirit, and I'm just in awe of her willingness to be vulnerable while also being incredibly strong. Now, she is a New Yorker, a beast in the gym, and a mother of twins who are almost out of the house. And we can all learn a little something from moms who've already been through the first 17 years. Dina's also crazy enough to go back to law school at nearly 40. I know that you learned so much from Dina's journey and her persistence in the face of insurmountable obstacles. So let's jump in. Welcome to the show, Dina. How are you doing, Dina?
I'm groovy. How are you, Miss Patricia Mama?
I'm doing great. So tell us just a little bit of your diagnosis background. Like, how did you think, hey, maybe I have this, and even go down that rabbit hole of considering a diagnosis?
So I am not your traditional student. So I went to law school later in life, and I spoke with the dean, and the dean was like, did you ever think maybe you possibly could have something? And I said, what do you mean? Well, you know, maybe you have ADHD, da, da, da. And I was 40, whatever at the time. I said, no. I always chalked it up to behavior issues because that's what I was told my whole life. Growing up in the 70s, there was no ADHD. There was, this child needs more rearing, punish her, or do this, that, the other thing. So when I did go for it, I wasn't surprised because I had known about ADHD. I just never wanted to use it as a crutch. And that's was the big eye opener, was that it's not a crutch. I understand finally why I am the way I am.
Which is such a blessing in that moment to be like, huh.
Oh, yes.
At least for me. What else were you feeling when you realized, like, this is why I am the way that I am?
I had an epiphany, because I'm sure a lot of mamas understand that we always have this negative feeling about ourselves because either we don't do everything right and we're always worried and we're looking for approval, and it's just a vicious cycle. And then you get this diagnosis and you start to learn about the symptoms that are individual to everyone, and you're like, holy wow, I totally understand why I am the way I am, why I act a certain way. I understand it. So it's not like I'm taking the diagnosis and going, okay, I'm going to make this fit. I took it and looked at it like, wow. I mean, listen, it's much more than the diagnosis, because you're talking about the past and, you know, trauma and all the things that happened. Mm. It's a huge conglomerate of things.
I like that you say that, because it is hard to pull out what parts of you attribute to ADHD or to trauma, and they're all interwoven into the being that you are, but yet your ADHD just permeates into your life and everything that you're doing. It's hard to separate out, oh, well, that part's because, or this part's because. And how do you feel like you do things differently now that you know about your diagnosis versus before, when you were kind of floating around blind?
Now that I am completely aware of what's going on, first, I definitely want to say, the more you learn about your ADHD, your symptoms, the better you will learn to live with what I call your lifetime roommate, right? If a person gets married, you have to learn the person you're living with, right? It's the same thing. Yes. ADHD is not going away.
Yes.
So you've got to learn about it so you can learn to live with it and make it a good life. And you can make it fun. You know, it all depends. So with me, understanding the frustration and my reactionary behavior and the emotions behind it, because that's a tremendous amount of the ADHD, the symptoms, you know, the focus thing and being distracted and derailed and having to start over. Of course, coping mechanisms, behavior modifications, and that's all being mindful. So before I understood it, I would flip out, just, you know, that's it. And I was known as, this woman is just out of her mind. She doesn't get away. She flips out. And it's not about not getting your way. It's about, I have to work ritualistically. It's mm-hmm. like I'm a robot, but I've got to do that in order to function.
I was gonna say, yeah, I like how you're just like reading my insides in my mind. I'm the same way of, I totally lose it when I have a plan and I'm moving forward and somebody comes in and interrupts me and it's like, ah! I mean, just, it is.
It's not their fault.
It's my brain.
Exactly. It's like,
you interrupt me. And, you know, I mean, I feel bad. My husband is probably the most frequent interrupter and he gets the most backlash on it. It is hard.
And another thing that leads to tremendous frustration is nobody understands what we go through. Mm-hmm. Fellow ADHDers, our mamas, they think that we're just out of our mind. And meanwhile, it's like, I love my husband, but 25 years, you still don't understand me. You think that I'm just flipping out. Do you understand I have one mechanism in my brain that's not there? So it skips from taking that pause and responding to immediately reacting and then stepping back and going, oh, okay, that's what happened. But the damage is done. Right. And all you're doing is defending yourself. Defend, defend, defend. But it's like, I have to have things a certain way. The scissor has to be in that hole, because when I go get it, it's not there. I am completely off kilter. I'm sure you feel me. And I know the mamas out there feel me too, because it's like, oh my gosh.
The flexibility portion of executive function is definitely one of the parts that I struggle with the most. And it is very hard to explain to other people. And obviously, I also can't be in their brain and I don't understand what it's like for that pause to just happen for them automatically. That's like mind blowing to me of like, wow, how does your brain do that? It's like magical unicorns. I wish I had one. I don't, because they're not real. But yeah, that's a struggle point for me too. Hey there, successful mama. Are you as time blind as I am? The solution is here. No more, I was supposed to be somewhere 20 minutes ago. Panic on the daily. If you're a double booker or an appointment forgetter, I can help. Do you know why you can't keep track of it all? Because you either don't have the skills or you don't have the system. Likely both. Keeping a calendar is a basic life skill that many of us never learned. Why? Because either no one taught us or they taught us in a way that didn't make sense to our ADHD brains. Let's change that. I hate watching you struggle on life skills that are learnable. Remember, you are not doomed to be a hot mess. Feeling confident and prepared is doable. Keeping up with a calendar can be attainable. I want to give you a basic system that works for your life and then help you develop a plan to actually keep up with the system. I know that you are ready to build calm and peace into your day by knowing where you need to be and when. My class on how to keep a calendar when you have ADHD is available for pre-sale now. Woohoo! And for you, my successful mama, I'm offering a little something special to you for being the first one in. So head over to patriciasung.com/ADHD calendar, that's all one word, and sign up now to guarantee your discount before the price goes up when the doors open. You are not alone, and I'm here to help you create the motherhood success story that you deserve. Progress over perfection. Let's move forward. Stop the chaos and sign up for class right now. patriciasung.com/ADHD calendar. But then, like, on the flip side, where do you feel like you've been able to take what you're really good at and then use it even for, like, better now that you know about who you are?
That's a great question. You know, I'm a crazy trainer. I've been training my whole life. I'm a certified trainer in everything. I know it very well. I'm very passionate about it. It's very personal to me, and it's very personal to help people. So my ADHD in that regard is great because of that passion I have, and it exudes in my classes, and it exudes when I help people, you know, get on a regimen or stick with it or motivate them or inspire them. That is a great attribute that I can give my ADHD credit for. That's one thing. And of course, the hyper-focusing, any project you give me, it will be so thorough. I might need, like, you know, 60 days instead of an hour, but it will be amazing because I will give it my heart and soul.
And I can see that. I mean, that's one of the things that drew me to you when I first got on Instagram, and you were one of the first people that I saw talking about ADHD, honestly. And I'm trying to think, like, what's the best word I'm looking for? Like, just that, like, true, honest character where you weren't putting on a front, or it was just, you could tell how passionate you were about sharing information and encouraging others with ADHD. And you started this whole intention movement. Where did you come up with that? Like, it seemed like it just kind of grew organically, but was there, like, a thought process behind it, or did it just kind of come like a snowball?
It was. One of the things that I learned was this whole meditation, mindfulness, breathing techniques to help as one of the coping mechanisms with ADHD. And, you know, everything you read always starts with intentions. Like, what is your intention and feeling and gratitude? And I learned a lot about it. And I said, what a great day, especially for our ADHD community, to start just with an intention. Not, you know, I'm going to save the world by the end of the day, 6 o'clock. It's like, okay, my intention for the day is just to chill. My intention to the day is try to think before I speak, try to catch it. So what I did was, and I love when I get passionate about something, you see, I run with it. And I want to bring everybody with, let's go, let's do it all together. Because I'm about lifting all us up all together, not stepping on each other. A lot of people in the world are not like that. I pray one day they will all become like, we're all one, hey. But so I just started and said, all right, how does this whole social media thing work? Hashtags, this, that, the other thing. And I said, I'm just going to start it. So I said, I'm going to set an intention. I'll do it on video. If you want to do it on video, great. If not, you want to write it, you want to share it, get it out there. Just try to start your day with it. You know, get off the floor. As soon as you step down one foot, thank you. The other foot, just, you know, and it just went, and everybody was jumping on board, and a lot of people were doing it. They were sharing it, and, you know, it took off for a while, and then, you know, it's slowed down a little, but it's still there. You know what I mean? Like, it's still there. They may not be sharing it as much, but I know it's still there. I can feel it. I do it every day.
Well, I think especially for us with ADHD, we're going. And you get so much input. It's hard to filter out all of the noise and the to-do list and all the input that's coming in. It's all loud. And we don't have that pause. So having that moment of, I'm going to set my intention for the day, is a purposeful way for us to create that pause and say, what do I want out of this day? Because we are all over the place a lot of the time. And what I am always encouraged when I hear your intentions is, usually it's not, you know, a lot of people will say, like, oh, just, you know, put three things on your to-do list, and, or, you know, you should look at your schedule. And it's more like process oriented. Your intentions are more about your heart and your mind and your, like, overall wellness. And as people with ADHD, we tend to ignore our personal wellness. I don't know, maybe not ignore, maybe that's not the right word I'm looking for, but we're not aware of it. And so without that moment to stop and say, here's what I'm accomplishing in my day, we just go, and the day happens and then we look back and say, well, what was the point?
Right. Cause we're on autopilot.
Mm-hmm. So much so. I could get on like a whole nother soapbox about like when you were talking about we're on autopilot and you talk about your rituals. That is a whole can of worms that I'm like, I so want to dive into this, but I promise myself I would keep this conversation short for our listeners. But that is such like a life-giving part for ADHD is like if you create those little pieces of your day that are on autopilot that are good for you instead of bad for you, then you're creating this day that looks like what you want it to look like instead of just letting life control the way that the day goes. But I'll hold that for another conversation on another day because I'm going to get back to one of the things you said about you were applying to law school. You're already 40 years old at this point, and the dean tells you, well, have you ever thought about this? So you now know that you have ADHD and yet you still chose to go to law school. Were you worried about that? Like, what was your thought process where you're like, oh no, cool, I'm still going to take on this really hard goal?
Okay. So I have twins who are now almost 18. And at the time they were younger. So of course, you know, without my husband on board with me and him essentially taking over the role as mother and father for those few, well, more than a few years. Like I said, when I put my mind to something, I am doing it. I will do everything I can to get there. And that was probably the hardest thing I ever had to do in my entire life was get through law school and then attempt to get accommodations for the bar exam. That is a whole nother Oprah show. And that is, I think, what caused a lot of my illness to get worse. But that's gone and I'm here.
You made it.
But I am a go-getter. I will do everything I can. And a lot of times to my detriment, but a lot of times to my benefit because that's just me. It's not because of recognition and, oh, you did it, da, da, da. It's because if I set my mind to something, I have to know that I gave it 1,000%. If I don't, then I have to be okay with that also. But this was something I had to do. And ADHD helped with that, you know, pushing it.
Have there been times where you realized, hey, I need to let this go?
Yes. In a nutshell, if I had a topic at school that I would just try to figure out over and over and over and over again, and it was just taking so much time because I was going about it the wrong way. I also learned how to study because what I was doing was ridiculous, 16 hours a day and absorbing like 3 points.
Yeah.
So I learned that too through law school. Just, you can't actually, I learned that when taking the bar for the fourth time. You cannot know everything. We do not have the ability or the capacity to know everything. Mm-hmm. As ADHDers, we need to know everything. At least for me, I learned that lesson. I had to say, okay, I need to be like Jerry Seinfeld, just know a little bit about everything.
I love that. Successful Mama, we are going to pause there. Stay tuned for part two, when Dean and I dive into our discussion on self-care, how we can use movement and exercise as part of our ADHD treatment, her love of rituals, and how she sees positive through it all. We'll talk soon, Successful Mama.